Please turn in your Bibles at this time to the New Testament book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be reading and focusing in on verses 4 through 9. This epistle to the church in Philippi is one of Paul's so-called prison epistles. Little commentators and historians debate whether it was from Rome or Ephesus or from somewhere else. It was probably written from Rome. And though the Apostle Paul finds himself under very difficult circumstances, yet he fills this letter with hope and encouragement and joy. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4, reading through verse 9, hear God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we'll be looking at these verses throughout the message this evening. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, I was only 12 or so when I got my first job, a summer job. Summer job working for a strawberry farmer near our home, several miles to the west of us here in Hudsonville. No, I wasn't picking the berries. I and a small crew of neighborhood kids were assigned the task of weeding them. And as I remember, we started out hoeing the strawberries, but there were too many casualties. Too many strawberry plants lost their lives. So I was down on our knees 7 or 8 hours a day, pulling out weeds one at a time. And as professional weed pullers, our great enemy, our great nemesis, was the quack grass. We hated this stuff because it wouldn't pull out. Its roots were really tough, and they went really deep into the soil. If you tried to pull it out, it would just break off. And without getting the roots, it would sprout right back up in just a couple of days. No, to defeat quackgrass, you had to go on down and dig into the ground and dig them out. It was the only way. And you know, as Christians, we often see and confess sin in our lives. We try to weed it out only to see it spring right back up again. Why? Well, it's likely that we're neglecting the root cause. We're neglecting the unchecked and out of control sin of our thoughts and minds. Indeed, as believers, our struggle to live a life pleasing to God is won or is lost in our thought life. And this reality comes through loud and clear in these verses before us this evening. And so let's look at three things connected with our thought life and of our Lord's desire that we acquire and maintain a godly sort of mind control. Well, first then, consider with me the helps for a godly thought life. Look, if you would, here in Philippians 4 and verse 5. Paul writes, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." The Lord is near. So the first help that the apostle gives us is one of reminder. As biblical Christians, we believe and confess that our God is both omnipresent and omniscient. In other words, boys and girls, He is everywhere and He knows everything. Everything, including every thought we think. And that truth should be a source of great comfort for us. In Psalm 139, David writes, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all of my ways. And knowing that the Lord has that kind of up-close and all-encompassing knowledge of us should constantly be quieting our fears. It should be checking our doubts, stopping our worry, and then shielding us against them. Like a small child that grabs onto his father's hand during a powerful thunderstorm, we can feel safe and secure with our Almighty God being right there at our side, always protecting us, always caring for us. And at the same time, the fact that our Lord is near us should remind us that there is always someone looking over our shoulder. Do people work harder when their supervisor is around or away? Do you drive slower or faster when you see the police car? See, the thought of being under the close and constant scrutiny of our Heavenly Father should help us to keep our feet from wandering. So how often do you think about the Lord's abiding presence? That He is near. That He's right here. You think about that frequently throughout your day? Occasionally? Rarely? And how about his return? How often do you think about the reality that Jesus could return at any moment? In fact, throughout the New Testament, we're reminded again and again that we are living in the last days. That Jesus could come back at any moment. That we should then always be ready to meet Him face to face. Remember how Jesus warned His followers to be prepared for a sudden appearance which will come like a thief in the night. And that His final promise in the Bible is that He is coming again soon. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2, this is the last hour. This is the last hour. And so that great event of His return should fill us with a sense of urgency. Desire to seize every moment. And it should guard and strengthen us to fight the good fight of faith. And so ask yourself throughout each day, if Jesus were to return right now, would I be ashamed of my thoughts, of my words, my actions? In Luke 12, verse 37, Jesus warns, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. And a few verses later, he adds, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. The Lord is near, and His coming is near at hand. Let those truths be a help in guarding your mind and your thoughts. Well, another thought, or another prayer, another help is prayer in helping us in controlling our thoughts. Look at verse 6. Here in Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. prayer commanded and commended by the apostle. And it is perhaps the greatest help of all in guarding our thought life. See, prayer is the means through which we experience God's presence and power. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints." Always keep on praying. So prayer isn't to be a dial-up connection, if you will. No, but one rather where we're always online. One where the Lord is only a thought away. Our thought life must be thoroughly prayerful. A way of life where our thoughts and prayers are intertwined, intermingled together. Sometimes we think that our personal, family, and corporate devotions are adequate. But our entire life should be one long prayer, a thankful, thank-filled fellowship with the living God. Again, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," notice, "with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And you see, that kind of godly gratitude is transformational. It'll shape how you view yourself, how you view the world around you, and especially how you view your Lord and Savior. Our focus will be redirected away from ourselves, outward and upward. And there will be a strength and stability in life, a steadiness and evenness as we go through our days. Prayer. Grateful, thankful prayer. A great help. In the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, the question is asked, why do we need to pray? And the answer, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives us His grace. He gives His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Powerful words, powerful reminders. And you see, it's through prayer as well that we receive peace, true peace. Verse 7, notice, "And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This peace of God brings peace of mind. It brings peace of soul. It brings a clear conscience. It brings an inner calm and quietness where trust and confidence have replaced guilt and fear. And this peace will act then as a sentry standing guard 24/7 over our thoughts, shielding us from anxiety, worry, and doubt. That's a great and gracious help indeed. The helps for a godly thought life. Well, secondly, consider with me the hindrances to a godly thought life. And the first hindrance here is that of sinful forgetfulness. Sinful forgetfulness. Look again at verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Sinful forgetfulness. You know, we tend to downplay or dismiss worry. But in reality, worry is an expression of weak or absent faith, isn't it? And anxiety is, in fact, a type of practical atheism where one forgets or ignores who God is and what He has promised and what He has done for us. And this worry and anxiety can be ferocious parasites that sap off our strength, that eat away at one's mind and faith. They can spread like cancer. It can invade every thought, deforming every thought, twisting and darkening them. Now, of course, the antidote against the sins of worry and anxiety is the Word of God and prayer. And that's what Paul draws our attention to. Again, in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There it is, prayer. And again, prayer reminds us of and connects us to our Almighty and loving Heavenly Father. In his first epistle, Peter wrote, cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. God cares for you. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27. I came across a little poem based on those verses. It goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and for me. It's clear, isn't it, that faith and worry are as polar opposites as fire and water. Remember, faith comes by hearing and reading and calling to mind God's Word. It is by His Word that our Lord reminds us of His attributes. He reminds us of His power, of His love, of His faithfulness, of His goodness, of His attentiveness, of His promises to us. This God who cannot lie. And so be in God's Word. Fill your mind with it and pray it. Pray it back to God. Pray His promises back to Him. Do you suffer from spiritual amnesia? Are you prone to forgetting God, prone to forgetting His promises? Sinful forgetfulness, a hindrance to a godly thought life. Well, a second type of hindrance to a godly thought life is that of sinful fixations. Sinful fixations, where our minds and our hearts are captivated by idols. Idols that try to grab our attention, fill us with thoughts of greed, desire. Look at verse 8 here in Philippians 4. Paul writes, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. You see, here Paul is calling us to decide between virtues on the one hand and vices on another. Virtues and vices. Between what is of value and what is harmful. Harmful because it's twisted or false or filthy or profane or cruel or just simply worthless. And the list of vices also includes good things that we obsess over. Things like wealth or pleasure. Things that are gifts from God but that we turn into idols. Now, whether we realize it or not, we're being deluged with all sorts of these idolatrous distractions. It's a second worldwide flood. The spillways and floodgates of media, of money, of mobility are wide open. This deluge is washing away our sensitivity. It's washing away our innocence, our willingness to resist You think of the power and influence of the internet, of the TV, of Hollywood, of the music industry, of the print media, the fashion industry, the in-your-face marketing of materialism and greed. You can't escape it. It's everywhere around us, coming at us from every direction. How our society highly values the newest, the most expensive, the fastest, the coolest, and the obsession of keeping up with the Joneses. Are you caught up in that? Is your mind fixated on something that the world is trying to captivate you with? And what you are focused on, is it a help or a hindrance to godliness? And this brings us thirdly and finally to consider the health of your own thought life. The health of your own thought life. Stop and ask yourself tonight, how sound, how healthy are your thoughts? Is your mind like a foul and polluted landfill? Remember, young people, garbage in leads to garbage out. How much flood damage have you suffered in our culture's deluge of vices? Are you healthy enough to click the mouse when you need to turn the channel, to get up and walk out? Guys, have you committed yourselves to Job's pledge when he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl? Job 31, verse 1. And likewise, the psalmist vowed when he said, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Psalm 101, verse 3. And just avoiding life's vices isn't sufficient. Neutrality isn't enough. Again, Paul's words in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Vacuums tend to draw in whatever is nearby, so we need to be filling our minds and our thoughts with good things. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So you see, a healthy and godly thought life requires discipline. It requires a strenuous exercise regimen. A commitment to actively and diligently seek out what is good, what is beautiful, what is praiseworthy, what is God glorifying. Looking for what is worthwhile and noble and true in literature, in art, in music, and entertainment. Looking for what reflects God's beauty, His goodness, His truth, His justice, and His redeeming mercies. Healthy thought life requires effort, preparation, and training. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul writes, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Parents, are you preparing your children for the arguments, the attacks, the worldviews, and temptations they'll face out in the world? Whether it's at school or at university, the workplace, or coming from their friends or from peer pressure. You stop and think about it. They're up against some very sophisticated and powerful foes. Things like secularism, materialism, hedonism, evolution. Do you have any idea what they really think about those things? Do you know what they're thinking at all? Can we and do we explain and defend our faith to our families, our neighbors, our co-workers? Are we biblical thinkers? Or do we compartmentalize our beliefs, restricting them to a couple of hours each Lord's Day? Are you and I at all serious about the battle for truth, the battle for our minds, the battle for our thoughts and attitudes? As one commentator wrote, and I quote, "What a person allows to occupy his mind and heart will sooner or later determine his speech and actions," unquote. Indeed, our thoughts, our desires, and our attitudes shape our character, and they drive our behavior. Without a doubt, it's a battle. So are you yielding the field? Are you ready to surrender? Or are you fighting the good fight of faith each and every day? Are you putting your mental and spiritual muscles to work? Look at verse 9. Paul writes, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So here Paul is not only referring to his inspired and authoritative writings and letters, but he's also pointing to his personal lifestyle of godliness. Whatever you've seen in me, put it into practice. Wow. Can you, can I say what Paul said with a clear conscience? Think about it. Indeed, if others are following you, where are you leading them? Your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your classmates. Where are you leading them? What example are you setting? It's a sad fact of life that spiritual and mental couch potatoes usually produce potato sprouts. It's true. And sadly, saints with undisciplined, ungodly, and unguarded thought lives lead to and result in an anemic and ineffective witness to the world. As someone has correctly observed, the outward impact of the church upon the world depends upon the inner state of individual believers. And that's true. Your life either sheds light or it casts a shadow upon our world. A life that is powered either by the brightness of believing faith in Jesus Christ or by dark and sinful thoughts. So, beloved saint, how healthy is your thought life? Remember, your mind is the front line in the battle for holiness. And the battle is won or it is lost there. As Ralph Waldo Emerson observed, the ancestry of every action is a thought. And so are you fighting the good fight of faith in your thought life? Are you looking to the Lord, praying to the Lord for help each and every day? Are you aware of the hindrances and obstacles you face? Who or what has control of your mind? Amen. Let us pray.